Hopefully it won't be too cool out here.
Rayleigh lives in a tidy brick house on the east side of Indianapolis. The backyard has 5 wind chimes that he got as gifts or on trips.
Animal Kingdom, Walt Disney World. And this one comes from my stepdaughter.
On a breezy spring day, they combine for a beautiful, relaxing tune. Inside, the living room is filled with photos from travels with his wife, the Cayman Islands, Orlando, Florida, and more.
Fortunately, I am living a good life. I do live with a severe mental illness. And I was homeless for over 10 years. You see where you at?
Beautiful home.
Well, I ain't gonna say beautiful, but it's a home.
It is beautiful.
For a long time, the former U.S. Marine was using drugs and alcohol to cope with his schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. Then he decided to seek help, and it changed his life. He's now a business owner, recovery support specialist, and a mental health advocate in Indianapolis. He knows how the stigma of mental illness can be. He remembers when he worked as a dishwasher, he had an episode and asked to go home for the day. His manager agreed, but later that day, a coworker called.
She said, "Ray, they told me to call you and tell you that if you come to work in the morning, they're going to call the police and have you arrested."
That sort of reaction can flare up after a mass shooting. Just like in Indianapolis, there's often speculation that the shooter had a mental illness, and that can deepen the stigma that surrounds these illnesses in America. Nicole Siegel can feel a change in how people treat her after a highly publicized mass violence incident.
Absolutely, I feel a difference. A person like myself is basically not trusted. People will think that at any point she could snap or be a completely different person.
Siegel is 38. She lives with anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress disorder. She's a marketing specialist in Los Angeles who's been managing her mental illness very well. Still, she says mental illness being repeatedly associated with mass violence makes her life so much harder, down to the little things like dating and job hunting.
I've lost a lot of friendships, and I've lost a lot of people in my life that were really good to me at one point, but I knew I could not trust them and they could not trust me.
The connection between mental illness and mass violence is actually weak. An FBI study was able to establish a link to mental illness in only 25% of mass shooting cases. In fact, research suggests that social, demographic, and economic factors are the main drivers behind violence, not mental illness. Studies also show that, compared to the general public, people living with a mental illness are 2.5 times more likely to be victims of violence, not the ones perpetrating it. That distinction is not lost on Sahar, a 30-year-old Muslim American business analyst who lives in Detroit.
I like webtoons, anime, long walks, traveling, reading, catching up with friends.
She also knows 6 languages: German, Arabic, Korean, Japanese, Spanish, and English. Sahar has a type of bipolar disorder and says that right after every mass shooting, beside the sadness, her first thoughts are,
I hope he's not Muslim, because that's the part of my identity. That's the part of me that's most visible because I wear hijab. And then my second thought is, please don't let them blame this on mental illness. Then it's associated more with violence.
Sahar asked not to be identified by her full name. She's seeking a new job and doesn't want potential employers to filter her out if they Google her name and discover she has a mental illness. There are over 51 million Americans living with mental illness like Sahar, but less than half receive help. That stigma and the fear of being perceived as a potential mass shooter are among the reasons why. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Farah Yusri.